Praise God. What a great worship group, aren't they? Yeah, praise God. That's really good. It's great to be here. You're sort of a strange church, aren't you? That's the word I was looking for. But I love it. I feel very much at home here. I feel very relaxed. It's great. It's just lovely to hear all the things that you're doing, all the things that are happening, to be part of it, this lovely worship that we have had together. It's good, just good to be here. Praise God. This wasn't sort of made for me, was it? It's like for short-legged people. No, it's all right. I'll manage. Okay. Thank you. Praise God. It really is good to be here. I'm serious about that. It really is very special. And we just feel just blessed to be able to come around and speak at different places. And retired about 4 years ago, but I really don't know how I had the time to work anyway, because we are so busy now doing lots of different things, and it's great. Praise God for that. Wonderful. Tell the person next to you, I wish he's better looking. What I like about this place you've got is that if you get bored, you can start playing basketball. Is that okay? As long as I'm on your team, then I don't mind. That's really good. Before I just introduce the subject I want to talk about today, I want you to turn to 1 Peter. I just love this chapter. I've used it so many times in different ways now over the years. I just love it. It's so powerful. I'm reading from the New Living Translation, but you can sort of follow in any version you have. 1 Peter 1 and verse 2. We'll just read down to verse 9. It says, God the Father chose you long ago, and the Spirit has made you holy. As a result, you have obeyed Jesus Christ and are cleansed by his blood. May you have more and more of God's special favor or grace and wonderful peace. All honor to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for it is by his boundless mercy that God has given us the privilege of being born again. Now we live with a wonderful expectation because Jesus Christ rose again from the dead. For God has reserved a priceless inheritance for his children. It is kept in heaven for you, pure and undefiled, beyond the reach of change and decay. And God, in his mighty power, will protect you until you receive this salvation, because you are trusting him. It will be revealed on the last day for all to see. So be truly glad. There is wonderful joy ahead. Even though it is necessary for you to endure many trials for a while, these trials are only to test your faith and to show that it is strong and pure. Praise God. It is anyone who has committed, I've missed the thing, being testers as fire tests and purifies gold. Your faith is far more precious to God than mere gold. So if your faith remains strong after being tried by fiery trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. You love him even though you have never seen him. Though you do not see him, you trust him. And even now you are happy with a glorious, inexpressible joy. Your reward for trusting him will be the salvation of your souls. This might be a bit loud for me. I've got a strong voice, so if you can turn me down just a little bit. Well, you don't need me to tell you that already we're on the run into Christmas. Praise God. I can't wait. I love Christmas. I really, really enjoy it. I start celebrating and thinking about it in June, because it's fantastic to be able to share together whatever Christmas has to bring, and it's fantastic. And one of the highlights of Christmas is the giving and receiving of gifts. We're all hoping that we don't get socks and handkerchiefs. It's terrible, isn't it? Yeah. Have you ever had those, and you open it, and you have to look blessed? God, Wow, just the color I needed. Thank you very much. And so we, you know, we look at the gifts, but we receive them with joy anyway. And we don't know what the gifts are going to be. And I don't know what gift you would choose, for instance, if you was asked for what special gift would you like, what you would actually choose. But God delights more than we can ever delight in giving gifts. The greatest gift, of course, he's ever given is Jesus. Amen? And that first Christmas time, fantastic. And it's wonderful to know that. But there are so many other gifts that God wants to give to us, so many that we could say thank you to God for, that are associated with Jesus. And I want to talk to you today about one of the greatest gifts, other than Jesus, that God has ever given to us. It's his grace. I get so excited about the grace of God. I just love it. It's just amazing when you start to think about it. And I want to just share a few thoughts about that. Now, I know if you've been a Christian a while, but even if you haven't, but you're going to know a little bit about grace. But some of you will say, oh, I know all about grace. I could tell you about grace. And so maybe he's got the wrong parcel to unwrap, the wrong present to undo. But no, I don't think I have. Have you ever had that opportunity or that occasion when some years ago, somebody gave you the gift that you really, really wanted. You really wanted it. And you unwrapped it, and it was beautiful, and it was lovely. And there it was, gleaming, and you put it on the sideboard or whatever you put these things. And you put it there, and for weeks and months, as you walked past, you could hardly take your eyes off that gift. And then suddenly, as the months rolled on and the years rolled on, you managed to pass it without even noticing it. Have you ever done that? And there comes a point where perhaps it ought to be confined to the cupboard and something else should take its place. Or maybe it just deteriorates a little bit and you need a new one. You need to have another look, something fresh about it. And I think sometimes that's how Christians can get about the whole idea of grace. We know what it means. We know, we understand it. We feel it. We're grateful for it, but we move on. And we very seldom look back at some of these incredible things that Jesus Christ has given to us. So if you don't mind, I want to talk about grace this morning. And if you know it all at the end, praise God, as long as you're practicing it, as long as you're realizing it. And I want to add one verse of scripture from Romans 16 and verse 20 from the New Living Translation again. It says this, it's almost a throwaway remark about grace, but it says this, the God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. Then he goes on to say this, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. And I want just to take that place, that position right now, to try and explain what grace is really all about. I mean, for instance, how many of you know that grace and victory are inseparable? If we want to be victorious in Jesus, anybody want to be victorious in Jesus this morning? Is it just me? Come on. If we want victory in Christ, we have to realize and recognize that we'll never get there without the grace of God. They're inseparable. And let me just remind you also what we mean by the word grace. It means God's free and undeserved favor towards sinful man or sinful humanity. And the word victory in the Bible means this, total defeat of all enemies of the soul. Total defeat. Isn't that fantastic? So we're not victorious in some issues. We are victorious in Christ. And we are overcomers. In fact, the Bible says we are more than overcomers, praise God. In every situation of life, we can overcome, praise God, because we have his grace and because grace triggers victory in our lives. So what about this whole idea of grace? We unwrap it, we take away the outer coating, and we begin to realize that it's more than just a word. It's more than just a blessing that God sends us and gives to us. It's more than just what we think it is. There's so much about it, I haven't got time to cover it this morning. But I want to pick out a few things to say about it. Please bear with me. Father, I thank you for these lovely people this morning, your people, people who are open to you, who are ready to receive. And Lord, they don't want to hear from me, they want to hear from you. And I pray that this morning, Holy Spirit, you will move in this place in a powerful way, and you will take the simple things that this man is able to share about such a wonderful gift and use them to inspire us and to encourage us and to challenge us and to help us to realize that we have a responsibility before God to make sure that those outside of the kingdom, those who don't know Jesus yet, have the opportunity to do so. So, Lord, as we just look at these very simple steps, these very simple parts of this incredible grace, that you will speak to us, and you will bless us, and you will challenge us in Jesus' name. Amen. The first one, the first thing to notice about grace in 1 Peter 1:3 is that it reaches the lost. Praise God. I was amazed when you got up and you started praying for people who are not yet saved. And some of the stuff that I wanted to say has already been said. Because incredible. Grace is primarily about God's favor in reaching the lost. Isn't that fantastic? How many of you know that once you are lost? I was once lost. I was the first Christian in my family. So I didn't know anything about Christianity at all from my family. I was the first Christian in my family. Praise God, later, much, much, much later in life, I was able to lead my grandfather, who was just very special to me, and my mum and dad to the Lord. And that's great, isn't it? But at the time, I was the only Christian, so I didn't know about anything like this. But one day, a very lovely and a very special family told me about Jesus. Isn't that incredible? And I found the truth of what I'm about to tell you now. That this grace, this awesome grace, reaches the lost. It talks about the privilege of being born again. Oh, anybody here born again? Anybody excited about being born again? Yeah, yes, praise God, wonderful. Do you know, it's amazing, isn't it? We are not just religious. Look at the person next to you and say, you're not religious. Yeah. Say, you're born again. Come on, say you're born. What did he say to you? Never mind. We're born again by the Spirit of God. We really are. We're not the same people. And if you're here this morning and you've never been born again, it's got nothing to do with religion. It's got nothing to do with worship and praise and so on. Nothing like that. You need to be born again, the Bible says. And the first step of grace is that we know that we know that we know that we're born again. Praise the Lord. God doesn't do things by half. He doesn't bring us in on some religious experience, or He doesn't do things that we have to do in order to be able to get into the kingdom of God, like being nice people, being kind and helpful. All these things are good, but it's not good enough to enter the kingdom of God. The Bible makes it quite clear. It says we must be born again. The best that we are, the best that we have, is a non-starter as far as God's word is concerned. Ephesians 2:8, for by grace you have been saved through faith, not of works, lest anyone should boast. And the New Living Translation is even stronger. It says this: God saved you by his special favor or grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. It's a gift from God. Praise the Lord for that. Salvation can never be our own doing. It's not a reward for how good we are or might become. He became sin for us, for you and for me. Jesus became sin. The Creator had to become and be the Christ on the cross. The one who fashioned righteousness had to bear the sins of the unrighteous. Do you know what that means? Do you know what it means? It means that Jesus Christ, the spotless Lamb of God, who had committed no sin and to whom the slightest sin was abhorrent, took my place and your place. He took my sin upon himself. Remember, he had no sin, So my smallest sin would have hurt him deeply. Our collective sin would have almost overwhelmed him. That's why he cried, "Father, if it's possible for this to be lifted from me, nevertheless, your will be done." And Jesus Christ, God's grace gift to us, took my sin and your sin, and the Bible puts it like this, he became sin. He didn't shrug it off. He didn't wear it as some sort of outer shell like we often think of. Or he just put our sin on for a bit. No, no, no. The Bible tells us that he had to become sin in order to pay the debt of sin and then defeat it at its highest level. Praise God for that. So I'm born again, not because of anything I've done, but by the grace of God through Jesus Christ becoming the one who bore my sin in his body on Calvary's cross. Let me just add one other thing about this. I've got to keep moving on, but listen, please. No matter how lost you may feel now, God's grace will reach you. It will. No matter what you're going through now, you may be a born-again Christian, but you're going through some tough times. And I believe there is someone right here this morning, and that's happening too. You're going through a terrible, terrible time at the moment. You don't know which way to turn. Let me say to you again that no matter what you're going through, God's grace will reach you. If you feel lost at the moment, then don't worry. Whether spiritually or naturally, his grace will reach you. That's the first thing. I've got to be quick. But that's the first thing about grace. It's just so amazing that his grace is to do with being, we need to be born again. Secondly, God's gift of grace restores our sight. What a strange thing to say. It restores our sight. God's grace is so great that it restores spiritual sight to those who are in spiritual darkness, those who are confused and doubtful and lacking faith. God opens their eyes. There are some of you here really anxious about your loved ones not being saved. And you've tried everything you can. You've invited them to things, you've bought them things, you've encouraged them, you've spoken to them, you've shown them your own life, you've done everything you can do, and you've come to an end, and you're thinking, however, are they going to be saved? Whenever, if ever, will they ever be saved? But the Bible tells us that God's grace is so amazing that he opens the eyes of the blind. And I want to say to you today, that particular person who's really anxious, I can feel it in my spirit here. Don't give up. Give them God. Tell them. Pray for them. Say, Lord God, open their spiritual eyes. Demonstrate your grace once more, that special favor once more, so that that loved one will be able to see what it's all about. Because otherwise we can talk all day, we can say things, we can show them things, we can read the Bible, we can do things for them, all these wonderful things that you are doing, and all of those sort of things can be done, but their eyes need to be open. And it's only by God's grace that that can happen. And then in contrast to that, in this verse, it's just in verses 8 and 9 of what we've read together, is this incredible thought that we need our spiritual eyes open, yet at the same time we have learned to love him without even seeing him. Isn't that staggering? Isn't that amazing? That's grace at its best. That's the grace of God showing Godfrey Fern Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? And it's just nice to know that he is able, that we are able to believe in him without actually seeing him. I don't know about you, but many people have said to me, "You show me God and I'll believe in him." So many people say that. And yet at the same time, they believe loads of stuff they've never seen. Yeah, that's right. So I can remember, I always remember when I was a young Christian, somebody was challenging me on this and they said, "You show me God and I'll believe in him." I said, so that means you only believe what you see. He said, that's right, you've got it, mate. I only believe what I can see. I said, have you ever been to Australia? I always remember this, only a young Christian. They said, no. I said, it doesn't exist. So what do you mean? I said, it doesn't exist. You've never seen it, therefore it doesn't exist. Come on, don't be ridiculous. Of course it exists. And just because you've not seen God yet, it doesn't matter. God exists. And the thing is that we can love him even though, praise God, we have not yet seen him. I want just to read a couple of verses from Romans 5 here. Verses 20, 21. Very nice in the New Living Translation. It says, God's law was given so that all people could see how sinful they were. But as people sinned more and more, God's wonderful kindness became more abundant. So just as sin ruled over all people and brought them to death, now God's wonderful kindness, or his grace, rules instead, giving us right standing with God and resulting in eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. I looked around, I couldn't see a clock for it, and I thought, wow, praise God. But then I've got my watch, so I'm watching the time, okay. That's the second thing. Third thing, ever so quickly. And that's this, that it reminds us, grace reminds us to be respectful. That's a strange thing to say, isn't it? It reminds us to be respectful. 1 Peter 1, 2 says, as a result, you have obeyed Jesus Christ and are cleansed by his blood. The word respectful in the Bible means to honor, love, and obey God. Now, this is our part. This is what we do, to love and obey God in order to be beneficiaries of the grace gift that's been given to us. We must put ourselves in that place as Christians and get to that place as Christians where we never doubt him. But at the same time, we never put ourselves down. You are so special to God. That person sitting near you, front, behind, at the side, is so special to God. We all make mistakes. Anybody else make mistakes apart from me? Oh, good. It's a relief. And we all make mistakes. And we can beat ourselves up and we can put ourselves down and we can say we're useless, God will never use me, and all this nonsense. Never do that. Just trust him, obey him, love him, enjoy the presence of God. Acts 6 and verse 8, Stephen, a man full of God's grace and power, performed amazing miracles and signs among the people. We so desperately need to do this today in order to reach the sick society, people with problems that are just unbelievable, and needs and sicknesses that they can't cope with. We need to drag them as well from their computers often, don't we? Just to be able to get their attention and tell them a little bit about this incredible thing that God is there for them. And if we respect God, he will honor us in every area of our lives. Come on, move on, Godfrey. Number four, it relieves us of the burden of guilt. 1 Peter 6, 7. This is my second favorite bit. The first bit is my favorite, is being born again. The second one is the fact that he relieves us of the burden of guilt. How many of you know there's nothing much worse than feeling guilty over something? It just adds to the problem, doesn't it? And we Christians, we are bad at this. We are bad at it. We really are. And if something goes wrong in our lives, we do something wrong and we start pointing the finger at ourselves. Guilty, 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 guilty. And God will never forgive you for this. You ought to have known better. And we even say it sometimes, sadly, to other Christians, don't we? You ought to have known better. And you ever done that? Anybody pointed the finger at anybody else? Or are you too good here? Too good here, yeah? Huh? Oh, somebody honest at the back. All right. And there we go. You point the finger. And my old granddad used to tell me that if you point the finger at somebody else, you've got three pointing back at yourself, which I thought was a blessing. It was really good to know. And that's the truth, isn't it? We can so easily point the finger at other people. We can point the finger at ourselves. But the great and most wonderful thing is that this amazing grace lifts the burden of guilt in our lives. Grace of God lifts that guilt. Praise God for that. Titus 3:7 tells us that we are justified by his grace. Not by man, not by each other, not by church, not by even the leaders of the church. We are justified by grace alone. New Living Translation again, I just love this. It says, he declared us not guilty because of his great kindness. And now we know that we will inherit eternal life. Wow. Isn't that amazing? Not only the gift of salvation now, but now we have eternal life. Praise God for that. We've been given a new life. Bless the Lord. By the grace of God, don't waste it. Make it count. But at the same time, recognize that we are very, very special people indeed. Our sins have been taken away. Praise the Lord. And they can no longer affect us. Bless you. Number five, it requires us to believe. Even though it is God's grace, we still have to believe in him. Now listen, before you say, oh, that's so obvious, let me just tell you what to believe really means. It means to accept fully, without any concerns, without any compromise, or without any conditions that we put on it, and to trust fully by faith. And that means in every circumstance of life. It doesn't mean when we're having a good old praise time here and everything's in the garden's good and everything's going well. It means at the tough times. When you're hurting, when things are going wrong, when problems arise, when these things are happening, when we feel at our lowest, when we are right down at the bottom, at that moment we are to believe that Jesus Christ is able to do whatever we need and is able to bring us out of it again. Praise God for that. Acts 16, verse 31, the question's just been asked, what must I do to be saved, by the Philippian jailer? And this is the reply. They replied, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you might be saved. Oh, will be saved. Sorry, made a mistake there. And you will be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. That's God's grace in action. Now look, we're all at different stages of believing, growing in our Christian life. We all go through different situations and circumstances that bring us through things, that help us. We can either be overwhelmed by them or we can use them to grow. We're all at those different stages. But as far as salvation is concerned, as far as we know that we're saved. Amen? Let me say here this morning, because I don't know you all, so I can say it. If there's anyone here this morning who doesn't know that they know that they know that they know, because I've spoken to people in my churches over the years, not many, but some who have been coming for weeks, months, and sometimes years, and I've said to them, isn't it great to be saved? Are you saved? Just chatting. And they said, I think so. I hope so. No. If you don't know for certain that you are born again, if you don't know for certain that you are saved, then get saved today. Praise God. Right now, don't wait for an appeal. Just accept Jesus Christ as your Savior right now. Accept the fact that he's taken out your sins from you and has borne them himself, and he's destroyed the power of sin in your life so you can be a new creation, a special person. Then you accept him right now as your Savior, and you will be amazed what the difference is between being religious or attending church and really knowing Christ as your Savior. It's awesome, praise God, to know that. Oh yeah, number whatever it is. It rescues us from the storms of life. Praise God for that. Whatever those storms might be, past, present, or future. There are those here, I have no doubt at all. And everybody around you, you know, you do your best. You put a front on because you don't want to offend or upset anybody. And you're going through a tough time at the moment, a hard time, a difficult time within the family. One particular person, the Lord's saying to me, and you're going through this tough time and you're putting on this front, not you're not being hypocritical in this case, you're just thinking, well, I can cope. And you're doing your best to do that. But I want you to know this, that God's grace is sufficient for you. That he will bring you out of that time And as you put your faith and trust in him right now afresh, you will be delivered out of that circumstance and situation now. Now. Put your faith and trust in him. Just allow him, praise God, to take control of this storm of life that has come. Because listen, we Christians get them as well, just as readily as anybody else. We really do. You know, we don't just because we become Christians don't have no problems evermore. Guess why people would become Christians if that was the case? Not because of Jesus, because they wouldn't have any problems. And that's not true, is it? Anybody who's a Christian here this morning, anybody have problems? Yeah. Okay. You can queue up and talk to your pastor later. Sorry. Oh, goodness me. Praise God. So when the storms come, when the hurts are there, when the problems are there, when you think there's no hope at all, that's the time to really trust God and to really believe that he can help you out in this circumstance and situation. Hebrews chapter 4, okay, verses 14 and 16, very short verses, but listen. It says, that is why we have a great high priest who has gone to heaven, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us cling to him and never stop trusting him. This high priest of ours understands our weaknesses, for he faced all of the same temptations we do, yet he did not sin. So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy, and we will find grace to help us when we need it. Praise God. God's grace does not demand perfection in us before we are acceptable to God. We come as we are, open, maybe even empty, maybe struggling. But he recognizes our frailties and our weaknesses, and he wants to strengthen us by his grace. When we're weak, then we're strong. If we want to hide ourselves and pretend, carry on. But if we're honest before God and we say, God, I'm feeling weak, I'm feeling down, and all my friends here are having a right old good time and I'm feeling horrible. The Bible says that when you're weak, then you'll be strong. When we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 2 Corinthians 12:9 says, my gracious favor is all you need. My power works best in your weakness. Even Paul said, I'm glad to boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may work through me. One last thought and I'm going to finish then. Tell the person next to you, thank goodness for that. Number 7. I just love this grace. I just love it. I think it's unbelievable. Lastly, it remains with us throughout eternity. We've got it now. We've got it throughout eternity. God's grace covers everything. Our reading put it like this, that it's beyond the reach of change and decay. Isn't it great to know that in spite of this changing world, in spite of our changing circumstances, that God-given grace is consistent always in Christ. His grace is sufficient. His grace is enough for me. Whatever else happens in my life, I know that by God's grace, I'll be okay. Whatever else is happening in my life, I know that by God's grace, he will see me through. 2 Peter 3 verse 18 says, but grow in the special favor or grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus, of Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be all glory and honor, both now and forevermore. Grace, or you might not be old enough for this, Grace is a charming sound. Anybody remember singing that? It's true. Absolutely right. And it's a wonderful thing to know God's grace. Don't leave it wrapped up in fancy paper. Don't unpack it and stand it on the side to look at now and again. But live by the grace of God. Experience His grace like you never have before. Recognize, praise God, recognize that you're born again. Acknowledge that every day. Realize that God's grace is there for you on any given occasion, in any circumstance of life. No matter what age we are, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how long we've been a Christian. Nothing to do with it. It doesn't matter how good we are or how keen we are. If you need God's grace this morning, God's grace is here. How do I know that? Because God is here. How do I know that? Because I feel His presence. How do I feel His presence? Because the Holy Spirit is here, abounding. How do I know that? I've been worshiping with you. I've been praising with you. I know that God's here. I know that His presence is here. I know that His power is here. I know that God can achieve absolutely anything. Whatever your need is today, I have no doubts that God's grace is sufficient. No doubt at all. We talked about spiritual eyes being opened, but I believe too that God can open the eyes of the blind, don't you? In the natural sense. And this morning, I just wanted to challenge you. It's always difficult to come to a church and to know what you've talked about and what do you need to hear. And just forget anything I've said that's of me. And just ask God to speak to you. By His grace, through His Spirit, in this place, at this time. Just close your eyes together. God is good, He really is. And right here, this morning, He's looking down at each one of us. His Spirit is moving within each one of us. And if you have a need today, that you believe that the grace of God through Jesus Christ can meet, then this is the moment to step out in faith. This is the moment to grasp God's grace. It's the moment to reach out and touch God once more and let Him touch you. I don't know what you do on occasions like this, but I want to ask this question. If this morning you need to feel the grace of God and a touch from God, if you need this morning to be healed, you need to be blessed, you need to be helped, if you're that one person especially who's struggling and heartbroken about something in the family, couple of people who are really coming to an end, have come to an end of witnessing because you don't know where to go next. I wonder whether I can ask you to stand. I don't know what you do, Robin. I don't know how you do this here. It's all different. If you've got a need this morning and you just feel the grace of God is sufficient for you and you want God to touch you, then just stand to your feet and we're going to just pray that God will do something incredible. God will touch your life. God will meet your need. God will come and stand with you and be there for you. So many. I wonder, do we have a bit of worship? Can we do that? This is a thing between you and God. I know that. It's good that we need to respond. We need to say, yes, I'm putting my trust in God. You're not putting your trust in me, otherwise you're wasting your time standing. But you're putting your trust in God. And His grace is sufficient for your need. You know what it is. We're going to just listen to some music being played and worship. And we're going to pray. I'm going to pray a general prayer. But if you want to come out and be prayed for, is that all right, Robin? That's fine. Yeah. Then we'll do that as well. But let me just pray a general prayer based around this whole idea of grace. We don't deserve it, but God gives it to us anyway. Father, I thank you for the people that are standing, so many. And that's how it is. Even though we are born-again believers, we have problems and difficulties. Life doesn't always go as we would hope it would, just like everybody else's. But I thank you that we do have you and the grace of God. And I pray for each person who has stood up in faith, believing that you have already heard their prayer. You know what it is that they have need of. And I ask in the name of Jesus that every one of them will benefit right now from the blessings of God and from the fact that you have displayed your grace in Jesus Christ. And right now, I pray that bodies will be healed, eyes will be opened, problems and difficulties will be solved, mountains will be moved. Lord, I pray that people here today who are standing because they have a need will have the power of God resting upon them, and you will flood their lives with your presence now. And they'll know that they know that they know that you have done something remarkable in their lives, and that you will be glorified because of it all. Lord, I thank you. It's a privilege to be here. And I praise and thank you for this wonderful church, this body of believers. And I pray that, Lord, what you have already promised and what you are yet to promise them will all come to pass. And that the building they're looking for will come. And it'll be the right building, big enough for this congregation to quadruple, big enough for God to do incredible things in the lives of so many who are yet still outside of the kingdom. Lord, I thank you because I believe that you are going to do something extraordinary in this body. Hallelujah. I'm going to hand over to you, to Robbie Neon. If you want to come forward, that's fine. I'd love to pray for you.